Turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes, chapter number 4. Ecclesiastes, chapter number 4, verse 13. We're going to have a look at one of the betters tonight, amen? Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. The contrast the Word of God is making in this verse. Have a look. Better is the poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. What's he saying? What's the contrast? It's better to be of a low degree and have a teachable spirit, maintain a teachable spirit, than to have the disposition of a king who is endued with knowledge over the years but refuses at one particular point now to hear instruction. In other words, it's better to be a nobody upholding a spirit of learning than to have a spirit of an old king who thinks he has come to the point of perfection and doesn't need to be taught anymore. A childlike, teachable spirit is counted wise. An old, king-like, unteachable spirit is counted foolish. That's what he says here. And by the way, you don't have to be an old, foolish king. Amen? It's the spirit that he's dealing with here. The spirit of a childlike, teachable spirit is he to a contrast to someone that doesn't have a teachable spirit anymore. It's come to the point where they're not listening or they're not hearing instruction. They want to hear it. You don't have to have, to be a king to have this spirit. It's common. It's common to be tempted to come to a point of complacency in our Christian life. For every one of us, we can come to a point and think, we've got it made. You know, we're going good, we're faring well, and we don't need to be admonished anymore. But it's far from the truth. No matter how much we have grown, we need more and more because of our body, this body of death that we have. The admonished means to be enlightened or to be taught. And so to have the spirit of an old foolish king is one that refuses to learn. They don't have to take advice anymore. They don't want advice anymore. They're intolerant of counsel. They cannot bear to be told what to do. Can't hear it. They become so stubborn and self-willed and they make hasty decisions. And so let us hear the phrase, who will no more be admonished. This gives us a very good indication that there was one particular time in their life that they were taking it in. They were receiving it. They were more than happy to go and seek counsel. They were more than happy to seek wisdom. They were more than happy to take on board whatever it was that was given to them, taught to them. Perfect example was King Saul, wasn't it? The first king, when he was beginning, was more than happy to do whatever it was that God told him to do. But then you know what happened. He became a fool. Now I want to give you something tonight that would help us be wise children that will live in the better. Okay, a person that is willing to be admonished is a person that will continue, that's the key word, to hearken to wise counsel. Will continue to hearken to wise counsel, not only for a period of time, Not until everything's going well, but will continue. Good times, bad times, spiritual victory and so forth will continue to hearken to counsel. Proverbs 19:20, hear counsel, receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. I'm going to question, what is wise counsel? Number one, wise counsel is divine counsel. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of who? Blessed is that man. The Bible says there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. So wise counsel is divine. It's from heaven. It's from this word, from the word of God. Amen. And then second of all, wise counsel is detached counsel. So what does that mean? In other words, it doesn't show any kind of partiality when dealing with when giving divine counsel. It doesn't matter if you're blood. There's no biases. You know, Asaph, when he became king, he stood down his mother because she was dabbling with idol worship. By the way, be careful that you don't go to people that will tell you what you want to hear. That's you know, common today. You know, people running around trying to find counsel from someone that would tell them something that they've already decided in their heart. They're just, so why do people actually do that, actually? Well, why don't they just do it? Because they want to justify themselves. They want someone else to be kind of, you know, helping them come to that end. And sometimes people manipulate the counselor. People can manipulate the counselor by leaving truths. And this is one thing that you do not do. Don't be tempted to do. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto wise counsel is wise. Number three, wise counsel is directed counsel. It's directed. In the multitude of counselors, there is what? Safety. In the multitude of counselors, guess who's one of our counselors in those multitude? The Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. So, yeah, you can have good counsel from godly people in your life, and sometimes they're conflicting. Not that there's a contradiction, but the application thereof. And you have to choose, which way do I take? They're both good. That's where the Holy Spirit of God, you need directed counsel to filter those things, not to undermine the counselors, but to have guidance and to apply the wisdom. That's, by the way, understanding. When you look at Proverbs, and when you're given wisdom, it comes with understanding, how to apply wisdom in your life. Okay, so within that multitude of counselors, you're going to have some principles given to you, and you want them to be directed by God. By the way, don't distort the truth of one counselor to the next. Oh, but, you know, so-and-so said this. You know, that's almost like a child playing his parents. I know. You know, they go and play their mother against me. But mum said this, and they leave some truths out of the picture. And so I have to go back to the mum and say, is that right? Oh, no. Oh. By the way, Matthias come up to me tonight and says, Daddy, I need a smack. I lied. I said, you lied in the morning. You lied, yes. You lied in the morning too. You lied in the morning. I said, I'll deal with it tomorrow. He goes, can't you deal with it now? He can't stand it hanging over his head. But I was in a rush. We had to go to prayer meeting, of course. But, you know, don't conceal truth from your counselors. If you want direction that is godly and divine, be honest with your counselors. Be truthful with your counselors and those that you're seeking advice from, godly parents and friends and so forth. It's, never leave vital information out. When a person is working on a puzzle, they need all the pieces, amen, to complete that picture. So if you're leaving something out, you're only hurting yourself and you're only delaying God's will for your life. Number four, wise counsel is difficult counsel. So what do you mean by that? Well, when you come to, you know, the end of all that, and it's so clear, it is absolutely clear to you that you know what you want to, you need to do. God has revealed it to you. It's hard to then apply it, isn't it? It's difficult to do something that goes against your will. It's difficult to do something that goes against what you hope, that you want, that you thought will be good. So it's difficult in that respect. Majority of time, divine and directed counsel is difficult to accept. You come to the end of it and you know, I know it's good, I know it's right, I know it sounds good, but it's hard to apply. It's difficult, but you need to. Bible says in Proverbs 23:9, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Don't despise the wisdom when it's come to. Don't despise prophesying. Don't despise the preaching of the Word of God. That's the worst thing that you can ever do, that you are not tolerating, if you will, the preaching of God's Word or counsel. I want to use an example here, King Rehoboam. Go to 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. After the death of King Solomon, Rehoboam, his son, is made king. And Jeroboam hears the news, rounds up the children of Israel, and then they desire to know, okay, Rehoboam, are you going to be like your father? Are you going to be harsh? Are you going to be, treating your people with, a hard hand, a heavy hand upon us? They wanted to know. So King Rehoboam says, come back in 3 days, I'll let you know. And during this time, he goes and seeks advice or counsel from two groups. Look at 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 6. King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while yet he lived. And he said, how do ye advise that I may answer this people? And he spake unto him, saying, if thou will be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servant forever. But what did he do in verse 8? But he forsook the counsel of the old men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye, that ye may answer this people? Have a look at verse 10. The young men that were grown up with him spoke unto him, saying, thou shalt speak unto the people. He's going to the younger men now, refuse the older men's counsel. Thou shalt speak unto these people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made a yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. This is what you should say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And look at verse 11. And now, whereas my father did lay you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father has chastened you with whips, but I will chasten you with scorpions. There you go. And so he went back to Jeroboam and said, I'm going to be even stronger than what my father was. I'm going to be more fierce. I'm going to be heavy-handed. You think my father was bad? Watch what you have to deal with here. And you know what happens when the wicked ruler is in control. What happens to the people? What God always wanted was a righteous ruler that ruled with wisdom. But he refused the wisdom of the old men, went with the younger men. He liked that kind of counsel. But what do you think happened to King Rehoboam? Okay, let me just say this to you. What do you think happened to Israel? That was at that particular point where the kingdom was divided. And the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom went to battle, and God said, Shemaiah, go and prophesy. And Shemaiah went and prophesied and said, you ought not to have this battle, you ought not to have this fight. He was the one that you would unify them to not fight against each other, all because of one man making one decision to refuse counsel causes division. That's what happens. It divided a kingdom. Here we have a ruler. How foolish was he to do that? Instead of following the fathers of his father's footsteps, or his grandfather David, because that's what God wanted. You know, every time God lifted up a king, he wanted them to be like David, perfect, a man after God's own heart. Josiah was counted 8 years old, wise, though 8 years old. Why? Because he did all things right before the Lord. All things right before the Lord. And so we see, better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. A person that will be willing to be admonished is a person that will continue to hearken to wise counsel, to hearken to divine instruction. It's absolutely imperative to do always those things that are biblically right. Always. King Ahab was a foolish king who disregarded the prophet's instruction. Have a look at 1 Kings chapter 21. Turn your Bibles there. After the murder of Naboth, God predicts the death of and judgment of Ahab for conspiring with his wife Jezebel against Naboth over a piece of property. However, when Elijah confronts Ahab with the news of this judgment, the Bible says that Ahab humbled himself before the Lord. Have a look at 1 Kings 21, verse 29. Seest thou, he's saying to Elijah here, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. By the way, perfect example of God's grace extended to those that humble themselves under the hand of God. What a perfect example. However, unfortunately, 3 years later, Ahab's attitude toward the word of God and the prophet of God didn't change. As a matter of fact, those 3 years he was resisting the word of the prophet. 3 years! And then God shows grace upon a man like that, a wicked king like that, should have been long gone. But God shows grace to him. That's our God. You can see our God, how gracious he is. Giving people time and time and time to get right. That's God. He humbled himself and God says, I'll give him more time. And so 3 years come. Have a look at 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 1. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down. Remember, Ahab was the king of Israel. And here Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horse as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. And then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And notice these 400 liberal prophets, and they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into thy hand of the king. You can see that one voice, they were together, yeah, go up, go up. It was so quick. Verse 7, Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we may inquire of them? He kind of sensed that these guys were shonky for him to say that. I mean, 400 prophets. I mean, do you want more than that? But he kind of sensed, Jehoshaphat, that these guys were just liberal to the core, loose, you know, like we have today, a lot of liberal, loose prophets. But he kind of sensed that to ask him, is there someone else? And have a look. Besides this, these 400. And in verse 8, the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But But I hate him. I hate him. Why? Have a look. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. You know what he means by that? You know what he means by that? He doesn't tell Ahab everything he wants to hear. He doesn't, kind of just tickle his ears and pamper him and flatter him and say, it's all good, go up. Do this, do that, God's with you. Yeah, the will of God. Yeah, brother, it's good. He wants to make sure that the will of God is taking place. And so he tells him the truth over and over and over again, to the point that Ahab is sick of hearing it. He hates him because he never ever prophesies the very thing or tells him what he wants to hear. That's an old foolish king. That's what it is right there. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Verse 9, the king of Israel called another officer and said, hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. Go bring him over here. And then look at verse 13. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spoke unto him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king. With one mouth, let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. See, even the officer was infected. Hey, look, we've got 400 telling Ahab what he wants to hear. They're on all one accord, one mouth. Hey, come, you say exactly what they're saying. You come and be one of these liberals. You come and be one of these liberals. I love his answer. Look at his answer. I love it. In verse 14, Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth. Not the king. The Lord. As the Lord. How long would the Lord live? Forever. What the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. What a prophet. Amen. What a prophet. Against these 400? Yeah. Who said numbers ever meant anything? Especially when you're dealing with the Bible. Numbers, you know, you often hear that. Well, all these people wrong. when it comes in competition with the Word of God, absolutely. Doesn't matter who you are. What does the Bible say? What does the Lord say? It's not about the majority, it's about what does the Lord say? What's God say about this? Amen. It says, as the Lord liveth, I will speak what the Lord tells me to speak. Look at verse 15. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah. You can kind of see that this has been taking place for a while with Micaiah. He knew Micaiah. Amen. Micaiah, shall we go up against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, look at this. I want you to see the sarcasm in his voice. I'll tell you why, because it was like, why are you coming to me? You don't even do what I tell you to do anyway. Why do you even bother? Go up. You want to hear it? You want to hear it, Ahab? Go up. The Lord will prosper you. Go up. And you know what? Ahab even knew that that wasn't the right prophecy. He even knew. Look what he... Look, let's continue to read. And the king said unto him, he says, go up and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it in thy hand. Yeah, go up. Is that what you want to hear, Ahab? And notice verse 16. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I endure thee, that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? How many times do I have to tell you, tell me the truth? But if I tell you the truth, you don't care for it. See, even a wicked man wants to know the truth. I know you're not telling the truth here. Because every time I want to do something, God just flips it and you know, it's opposite. Now you're telling me, you know, you're telling me something that I want to do? Like, come on. Tell me the truth here, okay? You really want to know the truth, Ahab? Do you really want to know the truth? Verse 17. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, he understood the prophecy. He understood what he was saying. And he said this, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? I told you, Jehoshaphat. See, I told you. You know what? All the children of Israel will be scattered, sheep with no shepherd, because you know, Ahab, you're going to die if you go up and fight Israel, the Syrians. You're going to die. See, Jehoshaphat? See, he always prophesies evil. Hello, Ahab. He's trying to save your life. Please. Anybody in there, Ahab? He's trying to save you. But this is what some people just don't get when they're seeking counsel. They're so blinded to what? They just want what they want. And they will not hear. Even if it's there for their own good, they just can't see it. What do you think happened to Ahab? What do you think happened? Hey, Jehoshaphat, why don't you come along? Come along with me and you dress like a king and I will dress like a normal person. I'll disguise myself. And Jehoshaphat does this. He goes down with him to... Why don't you disguise yourself too, Jehoshaphat? Like, are you serious? You're following this? Like, don't you understand that your life could be... Do you think Ahab was for Jehoshaphat? Ahab was that wicked that he was only protecting himself. Do you really think that he cared for Jehoshaphat or the children of Israel or the children of Judah? I don't think so. And a person that simply always wants counsel that would benefit them don't care about others nor God. Bottom line. Bottom line. Of course, he plunged to his death. He died. Now, in closing, there are two main causes in order for a person to reach that point. Number one, their position. Their position. You know, people think because they have a title that it excuses them from, you know, being instructed or being, you know, they think they're above reproach or above rebuke. I remember meeting a man in Newcastle, giving out gospel tracts. So I handed a gospel tract to this man, and he was doing the same. I didn't know. I can't remember if I purposely went up to him, but I didn't know that he was a pastor. And I went up to him. I said, "Here, this is for you." Do you know for sure that if you die, you'd go to heaven? And he pulled out his gospel tract and turned it around, and it was, sure enough, a picture of his face there at the back of the tract. He goes, see that? That's me. I said, oh. I said, you know, if you die today, do you know where you're going to go? He goes, I'm a pastor. I didn't say, what position you have. I said, if you die right now, do you know where you're going to go? And he didn't like that. The third time, we kind of parted ways. Some people think because they have a title, they're something. But Paul says to the Galatians, you're nothing if you think you're something. You know, second of all, it's pride. I really believe people reach to the point where they're not inviting admonishment or wisdom or instruction or even rebuke is because of pride. Pride. Remember what Samuel said to King Saul? He said, Samuel said to King Saul as he was being, you were anointed by God, Saul, because you once saw yourself to be little in your eyes. God chose you because you were little in your own eyes. And now, this has been taken away from you because you have become someone in your own eyes. But you really are nobody. What do you think King Saul pursued David? What do you think King Saul wanted David out of the picture? Think about that. Pride. Pride. And then we see, of course, not only the prophet Samuel reminds King Saul, but do you remember that what Solomon said to the Lord when he first became king? Remember what he said? When the Lord said, well, I want you to ask just for this one thing. I'll quote it to you because we're running out of time, but he said this. He said, now, Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. Look at this. And I am but a little child. I don't know how to come and go. Lord, I need your wisdom. And God said in that passage, he was pleased with Solomon's request. Lord, I need your wisdom. You know, that's the disposition that God wants for every single one of us. Not only in the beginning, but all the way to the end. He wants us to be wise children that would have a teachable spirit, no matter how far they get in their Christian life. And Job says, great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. And that's true. Why? What's the hindrance? Not having a teachable spirit. Not being willing to be admonished. Proverbs 16:31, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. If it be found in the way of righteousness. And that's what matters. Look, let me encourage you, Bible students. I beg you, first, second, third, fourth year, just go all the way and have a teachable spirit. You get out of Bible school and you know, you understand, you've got a lot to learn. A lot to learn. I speak to Buddy Smith and I say, hey, how you doing? As wise as he is, he says, I'm still learning. And what an attitude to have. That no matter how old you get in the faith, you're still learning. That's wise. And coming to a point where you are just above all that, you have arrived. No one can tell you what to do anymore. That's sad. The Bible says that's foolish. Better is a wise child. Amen? Amen. Than a foolish old king. Let's pray.